I can hear Seffi. I might be getting rugged. Is he talking?
No, you're good.
You're still there.
I was sort of.
Dude, have you been watching? Have you been watching the Netflix documentary over the last few years, Drive to Survive, or not?
I have seen that. Yeah, I think I saw the first two seasons. It's pretty good.
Oh, it's shit talk, mate. I've just like finished off the sixth season there, but it's really, when I said about the wokeness, that's really good to see all these kids, young kids coming through that do not give a fuck. Like, they're all like just sticking their V's up at Hamilton, like, fuck you, you all couldn't move out of the way. Like, Max Verstappen, he's got no love for Hamilton. Like, I absolutely love the kind of level of disrespect that they've got for the man these days. It's like, that's the reason I'm bullish as fuck on it, dude, this year, I tell you. Just for that crack.
Yeah, that Verstappen's kind of like, he's kind of like, strikes me as kind of a, like, I guess a little bit autistic and a little bit kind of obsessive, right? So he has that, those qualities. So he couldn't give a fuck about anything except winning, really, if you think about how
his dad, his dad was amazing and all. I mean, dude, he's been brought up, right, like, since he was like 4 years old for this, man. Think about it. He was 17. He was 17 when they signed him up, yeah.
Is he still driving for Red Bull, or who's he with?
Yeah, he's driving for Red Bull. Dude, I think he'll do a long, long time there. Hamilton's going to fucking Ferrari next year, isn't he? What a pleb. They're going to do nothing.
Oh, is he moving?
Yeah. He fucked McLaren off. He signed a 2-year contract, and then he's like, nah, fuck this. I'm off to Ferrari. And then last year, he signed a contract for 2025.
Oh, he broke a contract or what? What happened?
Pretty much, yeah. Mate, there's nothing they can do in Formula One, man.
I haven't watched, but like, is he just past his prime or what? Like, what's his thing?
No, he's pissed off with Mercedes. I think he gave them like quite a bit of last year, and when he knew they weren't going to deliver, then he's just like, ah, fuck this. I mean,
pissed off, is it like the production of their cars or what?
Oh, the car's been terrible for my eye. Verstappen's just won the last like 3 years, hasn't he?
Because the Mercedes folks were. Hamilton won a lot, right, before this in the past?
Seven. They won eight championships because Braun disrupted, like, the run, didn't they, for that, like, 1 year. But they won eight constructors, Mercedes, because they won with Nico Rosberg as well, and then they won seven with Hamilton. They've had... Do you know what? It couldn't happen to a nicer guy, because Toto Wolff, the chief principal, can actually be like a bit of a fucking prick, in my opinion. Like, I mean, you've got to respect like what he's done, and you know, but he just acts like a spoiled child at times. I think he's quite pathetic, his behavior, when you compare him to like Christian Horner or some of the other guys. Yeah, even like Zach Brown, for example, is pretty like chilled on that, you know what I mean? Like, Toto does not come off well on that documentary at all. He never has been a big fan favorite. But yeah, mate, I'm just so happy to see. Like, I'm not saying I'm really buzzing for Red Bull, but it was only going to be a matter of time. They've got the best aerodynamics designer in like Formula One history with Adrian Newey. He's like the genius of genius of geniuses. Like, but yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm looking forward to see what happens this season. We've got some decent shit going on now. Some decent competition. Got McLaren. You've got Aston Martin. There's some spicy stuff to be fucking had. Like, I reckon.
Give me a sec here. I've got to answer some messages.
What about you, noob? You into motor racing? Bikes? Anything?
Well, you know, my grandmother was following F1 pretty closely. So when I was young, I was quite into it. But I've been busy with other things. And I drove a big super bike when I was young, too. And I had a sports car. But yeah. I guess I would be dead if I hadn't sold both of them. This is like not good for a young guy to actually play with these things, I guess. So yeah, no, I like it. I like it a lot, but it's just better for me watching this, not enjoying it myself. I just can't control myself. I'm too aggressive, I guess.
Oh, man, don't get me started on cars. That's a different conversation altogether, that one. Like, I have to forget about nice things like that these days. Like, those days are long gone, well behind me. Naughty days. No fucking comment. Nah, man, I don't know what it is about machines, like, but I've got to see it. I went to the first Grand Prix in 2007, right? Albert Park. And I've got to tell you, nothing can ever prepare you. And this was the older engines as well, right? Like the V12s. Fucking nothing can prepare you for the noise. Even when they move to like the V8s, right? What they've got now, yeah? It just blows your mind. Like you cannot, yeah, they're fast. I'm not going to lie to you, but I've been to like...
Most people don't even know how loud they are, right?
Like you have to. Dude, like you can't tell someone. You can't explain it. You've got to like actually be there and just... you can hear them like coming from like so far away, but when they actually go up past you, it's fucking deafening, man. My missus couldn't get over it, man. Couldn't believe it. And we were like next to the tunnel where they come out in Singapore, and it was just, whoa, fucking Jesus, dude. But see, yeah, the fast. But I have to be honest with you, I went to the MotoGP down in Phillip Island, right, off Melbourne. And that, dude, they are fast. You know, the big 500s, yeah? Like, they are fucking licking it like bump, bro. Holy shit. I've never seen bikes move quicker in my life.
But I think the only thing that's louder are military jet engines, you know. Usually in the US and Europe, I've been to quite a few air shows in my life due to my profession, actually. And they have good distances to the airfields. But if you go watch one in China, they put the people like super near. It's like, you can really feel it, you know. It's like, they don't give a shit, I guess, the Chinese, or maybe they don't have these regulations, but they're super loud. You know, I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
A lot of people don't know a lot of stuff and all that, though, like with like the Formula One cars, that's actually like a bit what you could call bogus, for want of a better word. So what they did is when they downgraded the engines, like they didn't want to lose the noise factor. They were just trying to, like, obviously there was pressure from the, you know, the green community kind of thing, blah, blah, right? We all know how that works, right? Lobbying, et cetera. But they wanted to reduce the engines, right, and fuel consumption, et cetera, but not lose any noise. So they actually spent, like, millions of dollars, like developing and working on this, right, to be able to keep the level of noise. It's the same as the sparks. So a lot of people say the Formula One, and they think the sparks are actually the turbos, and they're not. And people think that back in the 80s, when you see it like a lot regularly, because it went away for a few years, right? It's only made a resurgence quite recently, like big time, because they made some changes to the regulations. But back in the 80s, what happened is the cars were that low to the ground that when they like first started off and they were full of fuel, they literally used to scrape the ground, and it was actually the bottom of the car scraping the ground, right, that caused the sparks. Then they brought this rule out where they had to put this like 1 centimeter like thick like panel along like each side, and if it had lost like say more than 2 mil of scraping as it went around the track, you got like fined or something, you got like a points penalty. It was a weird like thing. And what they did is, I forgot which manufacturer it was, but they used to have like titanium blocks on like a kind of slat, and they used to have the board facing down. And then they used to have the slats in between, right? These tungsten slats. And what did they do? The team like changed it, they reversed the board and they used carbon fiber. So basically all you're seeing is these sparks when they're driving around. The people think they're turbos. They're not. They're just each side alongside like the wheels and the inside here. It's just like a fucking board that they've got in with these like little blocks, like square fucking carbon fiber blocks. And they like just scrape along the ground as the car goes. I didn't even know like why we need sparks, but apparently it makes the race more entertaining.
For effect. You know, which is kind of funny. I don't know if it's the same thing in the US, but here in Europe, or at least in Germany, they had to build in like noise generators for full electric cars since I think 2021. It's a regulation, right? Because they kill bicycles. Drivers basically.
What is the time in your place right now? Like, what is the time in your place, guys?
4:20 in the morning.
4:20 in the morning, and you guys didn't sleep.
Yeah, I'm an AI. I don't sleep.
And I'm 4:20 in the afternoon over here. 4:20 in the afternoon.
Here it's 10:20 in the morning.
And I'm 2:50 afternoon in India right now.
Dude, we're just talking about the Grand Prix. How comes India lost the Grand Prix? I mean, is that because Force India got taken over or what? I quite like that Indian Grand Prix. I thought it was going to continue. Yeah, what happened there?
Actually, it's not that bad. Sorry, I didn't hear you, Gilly.
Well, you have to ask Bikram about the gurus in India. That's his field of speciality. You know, he really loves them.
Yeah, yeah, it's you know, it's in your culture. You know, people like gurus and the broad stars, and they spread something like, you know, the false narratives and the false hopes. And they are billionaires. Few gurus in here. You know, they are rich. They're kind of billionaire.
Dude, if you know gurus, have you seen the Standing Babas before or what? I've always wanted to go to India to see them.
You know, yes, Babas and gurus are the same. You know, though both are same, and both do the same business, and the both kind of fraud starts. You know, these are the, they play the people's sentiments. You know, their religions, and they just play their weak parts. And there is large populations out there, and they just take the money from these poor people, and that's it. And they just become rich in quick short of time. It's a very, very, very profitable business. You know, you can be rich in quick short of time.
Remember, there was like allegations that big haired Baba, that he was like molesting boys and shit, like. Remember
it's a common thing, and these guys, and you know, they say the spiritual guru, they don't need sex, and they are purely virgin, all kind of things. They are immune from this sex related stuffs, and actually the reality is it's opposites. You know, they are the most criminals and the rapists.
Safi, did you see when they went to arrest him or not? The guy you're on about, they went to arrest him. Dude, all the supporters and everything ganged up in the thing, like wouldn't let the cops in. There was fucking hell on. That was crazy, that shit. I know it's dude, you know.
Yeah.
Who?
That dude you just mentioned, the fucking guru guy, the one that like they sent in the military and everything. In the end, there was like hundreds of people and everything in the bloody temple, like keeping the cops in there.
Yeah. No, they definitely drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, talking about drinking Kool-Aid, you know, it's not just happened in India, I guess. I saw one thing just 1 week ago. It was about, I think, Nigeria, and there was this guru who sold literally gasoline, you know, like watered down.
And not only Hindus, you know, there is a Muslim gurus also. Muslim gurus also. And they call the, you know, they call the Qazis, and they are the spiritual gurus also in Muslims. You know, they are millionaires and billionaires also, you know. There's a both kind of, you know, third world countries. This is a popular thing. You know, the biggest business in the third world is religion. You just need to say Jai Sri Ram or Allahu Akbar, and you will become rich. Or you will become some 100K subscriber in just 1 hour. I'm telling you, the white guy in India, like, you know, if he says Jai Sri Ram or say Allahu Akbar or something like that, his YouTube subscriptions will be loaded with people's. It's a business. It's a business, bro.
Oh, by the way, briefly, the crypto topic. So looks like Ethereum is about to head to all-time high soon. So we're probably talking within like maybe the next couple of weeks, maybe, or faster. It's already at 3,800. So
do you think Solana? Do you think Solana could stretch past all time high, buddy?
Oh yeah, it'll go.
You reckon? Hey, Safi, I have a question. Like, do you think it is the right time for the sale?
Selling right now?
Yes.
No,
I'm planning to sell out.
There's a difference between selling, and there's a difference between DCAing out of a position and also like rotating into like other players. Like, so it's not at this stage of the market, it's not just about asking the question about selling, is it? Like, taking profit will always be a question. Rotation's always going to be a question. DCAing in or out, up and down. It's like there's a lot of things to think about, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, first off, like, I don't know, all the charts and things look exactly like November 2020, which means that Total 3 is just now taking off, and we're like maybe one third of the way up so far. So, like, if ETH hasn't hit all time high, Solana has not hit all time high, but it's getting close. It's like 140. It's already passed its last FIB level to the before all time high. And a whole lot of other coins have just begun to move. This was sort of the time in the previous cycle when BTC hit all-time high that everything else started running. So Bitcoin usually gets there first and everything catches up right afterwards. And then afterwards, the alts will go completely crazy usually. So last season, what happened is that you had like past this level, you had a 7x in the altcoin market, up, you know, in the total three, like, overall. It doesn't mean that your particular coin is going to do that. It just means that in general, this is the direction things are going. So I think it's still quite early, and a lot of normies and stuff haven't showed up. Now, is it possible that, like, the market goes into some wild sell-off and, you know, like, you don't have a full altcoin bull run or something like that? I guess it's possible, but there's no indication that's going to be the case.
Yeah, no, why it's not going to happen, it's just the US has to refund so much of debt in the next couple of months. Yellen needs a preferable investment climate. It's just like there's just going to be an abundance of liquidity, and there's enough to go into the crypto markets. It's just there's no other possibility. They just can't have an issue right now. It's like a given.
It's pre-election time and this and that, and yeah, they tend not to rock the boat too much. Anyway, point is, like, if you're in altcoins and such, this is precisely the time when things start really taking off. And even if they don't, like, let's say, for example, you know, something weird happens, Bitcoin tops out here and then goes sideways for the next 6 months to a year, then you just have to simply wait, because the alts will basically catch up over time. And we certainly have not had anything that looks like a blow off top at all. So if you look at pull up your favorite coins, and you'll notice that volumes are still relatively low, even though the price is going up. And that basically tells you that we're just on the slow climb, but nowhere near sort of like serious selling happening yet.
And so I just want to say something, like, you know, the Bitcoin ETFs, you can see the Bitcoin ETF performed well because, you know, there is halving out there on 22nd April. But
yeah,
on Ethereum case, like, you know, they are going to approve, you know, on the May 21st or maybe. But there is no such a things for Ethereum. So I don't think Ethereum ETF going to perform well, because there is no speculations like Bitcoin. There is a speculations for Bitcoin halving or supply, it's kind of thing. So people are buying these Bitcoin things. But Ethereum,
I think, like, if you had to guess, if you asked me, like, how high is Ethereum going to go, I'm going to guess that it's probably going to go to like 9 to 10K, all the way up to maybe like 13, 14K. You don't have to have any special.
But you don't have to. It can go 9 to 10K, but before the approval, you know, after approval, it's going to be a shit show. Definitely going to see some shit show.
Yeah, I'd be careful. Yeah, I'd be careful. You can't really imagine how much money there is in the U.S. financial system. It's like immeasurable. So that's one thing, you know. I think people really, you know, you think like crypto is big, you know, it's like nothing. There's so much money around, and it's just finding, it's speculative, right? It's just going where there's margins, where there's multiples, right? So yeah, I think we could really see this just raging on for the entirety of 2024, and then maybe it's actually not having a bull market in 2025. But what do I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, like, this ETF thing brings just lots of cash flow in. And when BTC goes up, people get excited and people just see crypto going up and like, oh, my God, I missed the run up of Bitcoin. But oh, look, all these other coins are there. We're just now seeing like people spreading the word into the general public. And it takes about a year usually or more for all the people to arrive. So even though we've started the cycle early, if we don't have like some kind of black swan event where we have some crash for some reason, you could have the market go to ridiculous highs, because the thing is, the new bidders, they just keep buying and buying and buying just until whenever and until all the money runs out and nobody's left. You know, there's no buyers left. And where does that musical chairs end? Nobody knows. So you really can't know this for sure. No matter how much you try to plan ahead, you just have to decide like, hey, I've made enough money. I'm going to sell. And that's about it. Like, so you're not going to know for sure.
Like, you know, the BC for projects, you can see the BC projects are buying Bitcoins and Ethereum. So do you think I am bullish on the BC projects? You know,
BC projects. What are you saying?
Yeah, the VC project, the venture capital projects, you know, there is no community out there, like one or two community member, but token is still pumping like up, you know, 1x or 2x because, you know, hard investors out there. So do you think the VC projects are, you know, the next big things in crypto, because they are going to cash outs and put this liquidity on their token, you know?
I don't know, I guess. Like, there's so many VC projects though. So
Chainlink is also VC projects.
It's hard to tell like where the money's gonna flow exactly. Really tough to say.
Yes.
But what we do know is that like once BTC passes high, once Ethereum pumps some more, then all sorts of leverage starts entering the system and it pumps everything. That's what happened in 2020. Like, it didn't matter what you owned, everything went up. And it went up a lot too, like stuff that's like, you know, 10 million market cap became billion market cap numbers, things like that. And it was just junk projects too. Like, everything went up that much. So, you know, is it possible that won't happen again? It's always possible. But like, what we know is that as so long as money's flowing into Bitcoin and money's generally flowing to the market, everything pumps like crazy. And so what will happen is like, okay, maybe Litecoin will be lagging or something and people buy everything else and everything else pumps. And then they're like, wait a minute, how can I make some money now? I need to buy something that hasn't gone up. So they'll go buy Litecoin. They'll buy the thing that hasn't moved. So even the stuff that hasn't moved yet will eventually pump and do like, you know, 3Xs and 5Xs and these kinds of numbers. Obviously, some things are going to do much better than other things. And some things are going to be much faster than other things. But remember, there's like a lot of liquidity in these various AI tokens and Caspa and this and that. A lot of stuff ran, right? Like a lot in the last year. And it's quite possible that a lot of that money can rotate into other things as well. So I wouldn't underestimate how high things can go at this stage. There's a lot of possibilities here still. I think like last season, most people got caught off guard by underestimating how high things can actually go. Are we going to make the mistake this time of overestimating how high they go? I suppose it's possible. But the big difference this year is there's a fair amount of big differences. One big difference is there's probably less leverage this time than last time, because there was some very big institutional leverage last time playing a role in all of this. There was a ton of centralized exchanges with leverage, lending, borrowing platforms. Arrows Capital, there was DCG, there was Voyager. There was tons of different lending going on to everybody.
And Luna Crash.
FTX and all of that. That pumped a lot of things. This time, we don't have as many of those things happening. And this time, we don't have like easy money with low interest rates. But this time the difference is we have the ETF money coming in. So like people in the stock market can just buy Bitcoin just whenever they feel like it. And that's very different than the Bitcoin trust like GBTC, which is not fully backed by the value of their coin. It's just a different season this time. It's going to be very difficult to predict anything. But I think it's rational that altcoins are going to pump a lot. Like look at Fetch, for example. It broke high and it's running. Remember I mentioned it was like, when I first started talking about it, it was like maybe 40 cents. And I was like, yeah, it'll probably reach like 10 bucks. It'll reach like, maybe it'll reach 30 bucks if it goes crazy. It's at 281 at this moment.
And the positive thing, like, you know, the positive thing is the community are so mature this time. And they see these, you know, ups and downs, 2021 ups and the down, everything they see. And people are so mature this time, you know, they are experienced in crypto. So this time, you know, things will be different. This can be different. That is
well, if the community is more mature, then people tend to sell off more mature, like earlier too.
Yes.
Right. They don't go as much crazy at the top buying more and more. But remember, there's a lot of newbies that always show up to this party. Every season, there's a lot of newbies that come brand new that don't know what's going on.
But this time, newbies is less. Number is not that big, you know.
Newbies far, the newbies have not come yet, because if they did, the Google search trends would be firing off. They'd be going really high. So people's YouTube searches, Google searches would go way up. They haven't happened yet, but we don't know how many newbies are going to come. They haven't shown up yet, but they'll show up. Remember, so if you were here in November of 2020, the newbies weren't there then either, by the way. And tons of them showed up later. Like it was almost a year and a half into the market after that, you know, things went really high. So it takes time, man. For people start making YouTube videos, they start talking about it at work, they start telling their friends. This all takes like 6 months to a year to minimum to sort of really rev up completely. So
yeah, and mind you, this time we actually have already Bitcoin NFTs that are worth like one or two Bitcoin, you know. Crazy.
Because here's the thing, like the reason why the number goes straight up and why the prices go like so aggressive is, let's say, for example, right now, Bitcoin's at 67K, whatever, and you figure like, okay, maybe it'll go sideways for a while. Maybe it will calm down. Maybe it'll dump here. Maybe it'll, you know, whatever. But what's going to happen if that happens? All the newbies that just started hearing about crypto today, like because the price started going up, they're going to start buying that dip. And the people that have been here are not going to allow that to happen that easily. They're going to be like, well, the newbies can go buy my expensive Bitcoin later. They're going to all bid it up. So there's a tendency for everyone to try to front run each other. And you get this very extreme impulse move that just keeps going up, up and up. So it's quite possible, like within, like, let's say the next 6 months, it's quite possible to hit the top of the cycle this time relatively quickly, and altcoins and everything will blow up as well. And usually what happens is no matter how it works, newbies usually come last and get wrecked. Their job is to throw up at the very end and buy the very top. That's what they do. And newbies don't look at charts and shit, man. They just simply buy. They don't care. They're like, oh, everyone else is getting rich, I want to get rich too. And so they buy, and then the market dumps after that. While they're buying, it'll dip a lot. Let's say it dips 40%, then they buy more. And then it dips 80%, they continue to buy more, and then they're the new accumulator for the next cycle. And then they realize, oh, I bought the top of the cycle this time. I'm going to go learn how to look at charts and whatever other bullshit. And then they come back next cycle and it starts all over again. And then the people that are here now are people that were here from last cycle. And we're all early still. So we already have our bags packed and whatever. We should be fine, right?
So like, Sefi, do you observing Polkadot and, you know, they can submit for ETF, spot ETF, you know?
And maybe ETF, I'm not sure.
If Ethereum ETF approved, then Polkadot ETF had to approve, you know. ACC cannot deny the pole pass or DTF, you know, they follow all the criteria. Yeah.
It'll be harder, like, yeah, you're right. If they approve one, then there's going to be other systems that might get approved also at some point. It's possible, yes. Yeah.
And the Polkadot is next, I think, after Ethereum. Do you believe that? Polkadot is going to submit ETFs?
Yeah, it's possible. I think legitimate projects near the top might be... you could have a Dogecoin ETF, technically. You could have a... Cardano's pretty decentralized. They might get something.
Yes, Cardano is also a possibility, Cardano's.
It's, you know, Chainlink is fairly centralized as far as token distribution. So it's, but they've had no problems with the SEC, so it's possible. What else? You could technically put Litecoin in an ETF. That's sufficiently decentralized.
You know, for the ETF criteria, you know, the Polkadot, the 2 years, you know, the token, you know, the IPO, the rules, all kind of things I checked out, and the Polkadot is, you know, fulfilling all the criteria. You know, the Polkadot is very, very strong candidate for the spot ETF, and they fulfill all the ACC's criteria. You just need to check that thing. I didn't understand properly, but you have experience on that.
There's all of these things, people will try to put them in ETF format because, like, some of these companies like VanEck and different ones, they make a lot of money if they have these ETFs for trade. So any of these that could get an ETF, possibly someone's going to try. And I would say even Dogecoin, Litecoin, these are all possibilities because they're sufficiently decentralized systems. It's quite possible all of those also get ETFs at some point. In which case, like, of course, they'll pump like crazy. So it's not unreasonable for the next few years to have a little bit of small bag and everything, theoretically.
Like, yes. I'm buying that thing. I am buying that Polkadot or Cardano things. You know, this is possible. They can get approved, and Chainlink also. These three are the strongest candidate, you know.
Yeah, and it could be like silly projects that, you know, nobody even cares about, but it doesn't matter. It's they can pump anyway. If they get ETFs, they're going to pump, right? So it's possible. Yep, but I mean, pretty much the overall, you know, market so far looks quite healthy. I mean, even if, like, let's say BTC drops here and just, like, you know, dumps down a FIB level and it just doesn't break the all-time high or whatever. And let's say it, you know, dumps to like 50K, like, it'll find buyers at that level and it could go sideways for a period of time. That would be really interesting. If it goes sideways for like for months at a time. But that would bring a lot of time for newbies to enter the space. I think what it is BTC probably runs all the way to 100K, then the newbies arrive, is my suspicion.
Yes, you know, the same thing happened, you know, that 2021 and 2020, like 2020, November and 2024. Yeah, you can compare that thing, the ETF news pushed the Bitcoin price like 69,000. Then what happens? They never break out this number. But altcoin pump massively next 6 months, like Terra Luna goes to hundreds and everything, FTX, FTT token, like goes to 42, and the massive altcoin run happened after the 69.
The altcoin run happened not after 69. The altcoin run began really hardcore in 2020, November, when BTC hit the previous all-time high of 20K. That's when the run began. That the total three did like a 7x from there.
Yes. The similar things happening right now.
What you don't want to do is you don't want to wait for BTC to hit all time high because the alts are already running already now. Because we're at all time high for Bitcoin, so now is the time when alts are likely to run.
And I hope you remember that time Sandbox. You know, 0.12 goes like $5 or $10, and the Phantom tokens like 0.22 goes to like $3 or something like that in just two months.
you're going to have a lot of stuff go crazy like that. Small cap stuff that's like a little bit popular, they can run a lot.
For sure. Yes, I earned 100K last time, but everything put on Luna and everything goes down to like zero.
Oh, you rotated everything to Luna and it went to wreck.
Yeah, I got wrecked. You know, every profit I messed up in Luna.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Yeah, it's happened to a lot of people, so it's fine. But yeah, I mean, this time around, I think it's like the process here is straightforward. If we're going to have an alt season, it's going to be now, and it's going to be over the next maybe 3 to 6 months. So last time, if you look at like from November of 2020, that's when BTC hit its prior high of 20K. Altcoins Total 3 was around the same position on the FIB levels as it is now. And the high in the altcoin space took right about 6 months to reach. So, I mean, 6 months from now, we're in March. So it's like we're in the beginning of March, really. So March, April, May, June, July, August. So by September, you could theoretically have a situation where the whole market possibly tops out, or you have some sort of sideways correction where BTC and everything takes a bit of a dump some point and goes sideways for 3 to 6 months and then takes off again later. So it's possible you have a slightly different weird. Basically, you take whatever Bitcoin chart you have, and the way to think of it is, if the price has done this before, it won't do it again the same way. So you just like, like it's like just pick whatever opposite direction happened last time. Just assume something different will happen this time. Each time,
yes, it's different. I have one more question for you. Like, you know, I just want to know the what is the time of election in US 2025?
November 2024.
November 2024. And the results?
Right around that time.
Okay, right around the time.
Within that week or whatever, yeah.
So, like, you know, I think the market is like clean for the November. I think like the election is out there. So 2024 November is, I'm bullish on next 6 or 7 months. I think next 6 or 7 months, there is no.
Man, I'm not sure what the election will do for stock prices and crypto prices, because the reality is like, people already sort of know Trump's positions and they know the Biden administration positions, and they know that both dudes are basically developing like worsening dementia and shit. Like they're just getting senile.
So do you think that Trump is going to win this time?
Probably. It's quite possible.
Yes, man.
But being run by idiots is bullish, right?
Yes, I love that guy. You know, I so love that guy, Trump.
He's all right. He's like he says a bunch of goofy shit too. So he's like
yeah, absolutely.
He's a strange character.
He's a real character. He's not a fake.
That's going to be worse. That's going to be worse this time because he's getting old. So like the usual Trumpisms are going to get worse. As far as like just sometimes he just says clueless nonsense too, right? So this is the problem with him. Both like I don't know. Neither are particularly bullish at this point for anything. They're just too old.
No, if this ETF is going to approve, then that's mean they are going to list it in the stock markets, you know, technically. So if they cut the rate, bank rate, I mean, the federal bank, so the interest rates, if they cut the bank rates, that's mean bullish for these ETFs and also bullish for cryptocurrencies, right?
Yeah, but I don't think I don't expect major cuts though. That's a thing. Like we're talking about maybe a percentage here and there. It's not going to be like before, I don't think.
They need to, they have to make happy people. Otherwise, they are going to lose the election. So they are going to cut the rate before November. You know, for the election purpose.
Maybe, I don't know. Hard to say. Yeah, hard to say for sure. Yeah, like none of these things we can really predict them, I suppose. So we can't really plan the portfolio ahead of time unless you plan to sort of like sell everything and then only re-enter the market, say, depending on who wins. So, like, for example, if Trump wins and you go, okay, I'm going to take all my crypto winnings, I'm going to dump them in the stock market because, you know, such and such is going to go up or whatever. You know, that's a way you could play it. But man, it's really tough, dude. Like playing political, like playing financial decisions based on politics is like, can be disastrous. Like you can make a lot of mistakes this way too. It's hard. I've made some mistakes doing that in the past.
Yes. Yes.
It, in my view, it's like the alt season's probably not over until like Ethereum performs like a 2x above all-time high or something like that. Then I'll say, okay, yeah, it's probably finished or getting close, you know. So you can basically use those as approximations or tests. And I think another one would be like, take, for example, Chainlink is a good bellwether. It's like a good one to monitor. If it hasn't reached all-time high yet, you know, given that it's like a legitimate crypto project, then probably the off season.
My planning is cash out everything and put so sell everything and put that money into Chainlink, and that is my planning, you know, for the long term.
Well, that can be tricky because the problem is that when everything else is up, Chainlink will also be up. So you want to be careful. You probably don't want to buy directly back into anything.
I mean long term, you know. I mean the long term, for the future. You know, I can see the future in Chainlink.
You probably want to do it after, you know, you're in a definitive bear market again and Chainlink is pulled back like 80% from whatever future top it has. Then you can go pile into it later. I wouldn't just take your money, sell whatever you have, and then just jump into Chainlink, especially because it might also be too high. And by that point, right? Like if you think 6 months from now, everything's going to go up. You can't just rotate into something and protect yourself because everything will go down at some point. So the safer thing to do is you take profit into stables and you just simply wait. And once you have like...
Oh, there's a stable is rigs, you know, the CBDC thing. I'm not bullish on the stable things. You know, the CBDC can be rolled out and stable can be collapsed, you know. This is why stable, I am not taking risks on the stables.
No, or put it into cash, put it into something. The point is like, yeah. I don't, by the way, I don't think anything is going to happen in stable coins that quickly. It's nothing, CBDCs or otherwise, not a big deal. What I'm saying is that you don't have to be in, you know, a crypto asset. Once you exit, then you want to wait for the next bottom.
I don't want to cash out, you know, because the Indian government put 30% tax on cash out. So why I am going to cash out and pay 30% tax, and again I am going to deposit, and again I have to pay taxes. So it is better to put everything on Chainlink. My planning is that, because, you know, I'm not going to pay taxes for my profit like 30% to the governments, and those governments are idiots, you know. Sorry. Hello?
Yep. Yeah, give me a second. I had to answer a message. I'm at work. Give me 1 second. Yeah, I get it. Like, you have to decide whether you're going to pay taxes or what, how you do it. Yeah, I mean, well, the thing about taxes is that sometimes it's better to pay them at the top and just pay it off and then just simply wait. But if you try to plan based on not paying taxes, then you have to just only accumulate only and wait like maybe like 2 cycles and just like wait 5 to 6 years or 5 to 8 years really and just go long term. That's another way to do it if you don't want to mess with taxes. But anyway, but that's what's interesting about Zephyr is that like you can move in and out of a stable without having to pay anything because there's no record of anything.
There goes the tax savings model.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a tax savings system. So yeah, like if there's no way to demonstrate that you've converted anything, there's technically no taxable event. It's that simple. It's really that
simple. But you know, the tax is, you know, you are paying like 5% tax or 10% tax, and 30% bro.
No, that's true. Ours is very high. So ours is like, if it's long-term capital gains over a year, then it's 20. If it's short-term capital gains, it's whatever my income tax is, which could be 30, 40%.
Yeah, it's perfect for trading as long as the coin doesn't go.
That's being ridiculous, you know.
Now you understand. Not a democracy, man. All of what you're talking about is why I like Zephyr, for that reason.
Yes, we are going to pay taxes for the, you know, for why? I don't understand. Like 20% tax, why? Am I doing some crime or crime or something like that? 20% or 30%? What the fuck is this, man?
Yeah, exactly. That's what everyone says, that after you start making your own money, you realize, wait a minute, hold on. Where's all my money going? Yeah, like that's just normal around here. My tax rate's probably about 30%.
At least United States government is not that corrupted like in Indian governments, politicians, you know. These government politicians are the most corrupted, and we are taking risks on the investments, and we have to pay them taxes for so these political bitches
can... The U.S. has become pretty corrupt. Like, it's gotten pretty bad now. I don't know. I think it's not that much better anymore. The current regime is any regime, the political class is very corrupt, generally speaking, in the U.S. now. Like, you can't really believe anything they do. Not to mention, like, they spend money like crazy, which is really interesting, just to get more votes. Oh, it's 5 a.m. here. I've got an hour to go, noob. Fortunately, I didn't have to do any actual significant work today. Most of it was just messaging in the background while we were talking.
I always say I only sleep like 3 or 4 hours. You know, I am dealing with some anxiety also, and medicine is not working, you know.
Right now I'm working at nighttime and sleeping during the day, so I have to finish work here and then figure out how to fall asleep properly.
You are in hospital.
Yes. Yesterday I was like, I slept like 4 hours, and then the light coming through the windows, because I was like sleeping during the day, it made me wake up, and then I don't know, it was just a mess.
You need duct tape and aluminum foil. You should get some and blind the windows. That's what I do when I travel.
Yeah, or something.
And, you know, what happened? Really, it's a pulsatile tinnitus or something like that. I always hear some kind of voice in my ear, like all the time.
Is there voices in your ear?
Yes. Because of, I sleep only 4 hours. At night, I also, you can see my, I'm always active at night.
You just can't stay asleep longer than that, or what?
No, I also, you know, I also work at night, so it's like 3, or I go to sleep like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And then I am currently working in office, and you know, Indian government office, there is no work. You have to do something like nonsense things, these politicians kissing ass. Some kind of job like this. So there is no job out.
Wait, why do you stay up so late at night then?
Like, my job is like, you know, boring, and I have to earn money. So this is why I wake up at night doing some research and, you know, the blockchain stuff, all okay. This content creation for injective shilling tokens, earning some kind of money.
Yeah, well, you don't want to shill big tokens. If you're going to go into the job of shilling a coin, you know, find something with a small market cap and shill the shit out of that instead. You're making a lot more money.
Yes, I put some money on the Talis token. You know, the Talis is crashed like 99%, the Talis marketplace.
Yeah, but like nobody knows what those are, meaning like, I don't know if those things will move much in terms of attention. You have to pick something that's the right balance of like, small market cap that has a reasonable chance of getting some attention and pumping. and then you want to like talk about that a whole bunch and post and stuff, then you have the possibility of actually shilling something to the point where your contribution is going to actually affect the price at some point or something, you know?
Yeah, this is true.
But like Injective and things like that, the market cap is too high. You're not going to make any serious impact on it.
No, yeah, there is like, you know, they are working some good things, you know, Athena, Mustop, and they are like CW404. And you can see the ERC-404 impact, and they created the CW-404. And similarly, like ERC-404. And this is a, like, you know, they are working very good. Last 2 months, I can see they are working.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, from a, you know, if you're like a small scale shiller or something, like, you know, the way that you do it is, you pick one coin and you pick something that is like up and coming. And then that's a way to kind of get kind of, I don't know, like it's a way to get attention and like get a following and stuff like that.
Yes. So do you think I should launch a token like Guru token, like decentralized Guru token in Injective?
Yeah, I guess you could, like, but the thing is, you, in order to do all that shit, you have to have a big following to begin with. So like this cycle, it makes more sense to just like post about some coin that somebody, people like, and keep posting interesting stuff about it, and then those people will sort of like and retweet your shit and follow you or whatever, and then like maybe, you know, maybe follow up next cycle, you can kind of create something or do whatever, because you don't have enough like influence. It doesn't make any difference, right? As far as like pumping some token.
Yeah. I can create my own token, like the Guru token, you know, I'm going to launch some token with the symbol of this rapist Baba. And you know, that will work. Yeah, some meme token, and I'm going to shield my own token, you know.
I like it. It might work. I don't know.
Yeah, the Bruce didn't find funny in there. You know, Bruce think it's a racist or something like that.
No, not really. Like, the rapist Baba token. That's so funny.
Hey, I have to go right now. Okay, good night, bro.
All right, see you later.
Might be a good idea to create the rape Baba token, right?
Yes, rapist Baba token.
The rapist Baba token. That's actually the pretty fucking funny. That probably would work. Just call it that exactly. Don't call it the like rapist Baba token and put like BABA as the ticker. And you're gonna piss off a bunch of people or whatever. Be funny.
Yeah, it was a fair launch, right?
Fair launch. That's funny.
Yeah, it's just
of course, like only six people will get the joke or whatever, but yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know. Most people just look at the green candles and it's like whatever, bonk, pee pee, up. What? Whatever it's called.
I don't really care, exactly.
The one guy called the coin Retardio. Did you see that on Solana?
Yeah. The Retardio token, yeah. Yep.
Weird, you know, but the scams are rolling in, which is a good sign that actually that we get retail into the market, you know. It's like you need the silly retail for the scams to work out. All these stupid, whatever, honeypot tokens and whatnot, right? So that's a sign there, for me at least, you know, I'm always looking where the scammers are. That's where the money is, you know, they're like the flies that indicate where the shit pile is.
Yep. Oh, hey, Disclose, what's going on? Came to hang out.
Trying to set up my microphone because AirPods are acting up again. Can you hear me well or not really?
Yeah, it's doing okay. It's passable.
No, I just like lurking in spaces. I'll have to admit, I passed out for like an hour while sitting here as well. Just trying to also get my sleeping schedule on check, which is absolutely horrible. Got like, just to give an example, but I'm pretty sure you're familiar with this. Got 5 minutes of REM sleep and 6 minutes of core sleep through last night. That's all I had. And 2 hours of regular sleep. So it's been like that for 2 weeks already. So kind of trying not to go insane here. And at the same time, just... MAs and all these things regarding the race. It's going well, but not as fast as I expected it to go, because the new meta right now is the DevRugged community overtake. Let's all put money in this 5K market cap, and then people get burned and then they run to another one and just like keep on burning their capital through all the rugs. So it's a bit on Solana right now.
Okay.
Ryan Garcia had a meltdown last few days where he was talking about pedos, aliens, Vatican, just going hardcore like for 3 days, tweeting every 2 minutes.
Who is that?
A UFC fighter. So okay. I knew him like not that much, but the guy went so hardcore. He had Alex with Alex Jones. He went on Spaces. He went on Spaces with Andrew Tate. He just went completely off the rails. Like the guy was talking about how he was forced to watch kids getting raped at Bohemian Grove, how he has proof of aliens, how he's been to Vatican and he knows the secrets. Like the guy just went off the rails for 3 days, just tweeting nonstop, just going at it. Now, I think yesterday
he had like developed like a psychotic break or something.
I mean, it really seems like it. And yesterday he already started posting how he is going to get killed and his family is going to get killed. But so, yeah, that was a bit of a spectacle. We're still waiting for him to release those alien pictures because that's what our DAO is for. But I don't think that's ever going to happen, to be honest with you.
Sounds like some sort of acute psychosis or something.
The proper like, manic.
He's tweeting about every type of, well, not manic, just psychotic. Like he's tweeting about every sort of random rabbit hole you can imagine. like, oh sure, all of these things happen to you. Sure, why not? Like, he's like the Rosetta Stone of yeah. Fucking chaos.
Chose like the most extreme conspiracies. Just went at it.
Yeah, wrap all the conspiracies together, and he's seen them all. He knows what's happening with all of them because he's a genius.
Like I'm a bit surprised. Maybe I didn't see it yet because at some point I stopped reading it. I'm a bit surprised it didn't start going at, you know, with a certain religious community in his rats.
Either that or like he's taken too many, you know, like he's taken too many hits to the front of his head and his frontal lobe is basically dysfunctional now and he's just kind of talking nonsense. It's possible. It's like a disinhibition syndrome. And so, like, every conspiracy he's ever had in his head, he's just, like, releasing into the ether now because he's got brain damage.
Also, the thing with conspiracies in general, there's, like, a study that people who... one conspiracy, that there's a lot of inclination to just run towards everything. So that's why you see that, you know, like, if there's someone who is a flat earther, it's not going to stop there. Rarely you will have a person who believes in flat earth and everything else. He will be like a regular normie and he only has this weird belief of flat earth. There's going to be at least five more other things, yeah. But there's some sort of, you know, not something small, but something batshit, which is also.
Yeah. You gravitate towards batshit, right? It's the type of person, not so much the, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Which we're for us, you know, what we're working on is just a disclosure movement about, you know, UFOs, whether it's a psyop or whether it's actually something from outer space, which is the US government and media is already covering. So it's not something crazy, to be honest, if you have official documents talking about it. But then you have people reaching out And then they start, you know, talking about all the other things. And we respond, like, look, we have one goal and one focus here. If you have certain beliefs, it's all right, but we're not going to go there. And that's not what we're here for. We're just kind of, you know, expect that they will find some sort of a group of... well, sometimes I like to call our DAO a little asylum, or like a little schizo heaven, but yeah.
Well, that's the problem, right? Like, it'll be 99% noise and 1% signal when you start going onto the, like, the fringe stuff. That's always the case.
We're focusing on one fringe thing, and we're very happy about it.
That and the fringe thing tends to attract the people that are nuts, too. So that's the problem as well. It's interesting, too, like when you go to spaces about various alien things. Like there's some things definitely that observe phenomenon, like, you know, Tic Tac UFO and a bunch of other things that look legitimately interesting as far as like really unexplainable. And there's plenty of like footage and all these kinds of things. And you can speculate on like what exactly happened there, but you know, and you can carry on to like a logical conversation about it. And then the problem is that like even on Twitter spaces, you have the word alien in the title, and it's like you get like, you know, half the room is just weirdos who like have no fucking clue what you're talking about with the, you know, your concerns about the physics or whatever else. They're just complete like imbeciles that just basically believe weird things. And then like, I don't know, it just goes off the rails pretty quick.
Correct. She also uses believe, right? And this is where I think yesterday I covered this in Spaces. We are like, for us, it's not about what you believe. Like, of course, there's a lot of people in our group who want to, UFOs would end up something extraterrestrial, or some, you would also discover some aliens. That would be cool. But we don't stand by some sort of, you know, certain belief, because there's so many theories about this. So what we're trying to do is just uncover information and monetize it. That's it. Now, what it can be, like, unless it's no black and white, you have alien in front of your face. Yeah, okay, that's an alien. But if you just say, okay, you have certain documents released, you can release that information. Or if some high-level general said something, you can release that information. Now, whether it's true or not, you know, fuck knows. It can be either. But you have a lot of these communities who cling on ideas or certain spokespeople who might also be misled, right? There might be some, you know, Pentagon general that he was fed bullshit half of the time just to, you know, mislead people. So in his eyes, he's saying, hey, look, I'm telling the truth. I can swear under the oath. Because in his eyes, that's the truth that he knows. But he could have been, you know, psyoped as well. So for us, it's also very important not to stray away into certain beliefs, or that, you know, oh, this is definitely aliens, or oh, this is definitely a psyop, or the aliens are necessarily good or bad. Because then you have people fighting, and this is something that is quite insane in UFO Twitter, where you have people running smear campaigns against each other already, like for months, just because someone has a different set of beliefs and they cling to it, and others are creating fake accounts to discredit them. They bully and terrorize each other. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. It's funny shit. But yeah, once you get into sort of like weirdo land, the thing is like, you can find quite the extremists in those groups as well. Like, exactly happens how you described it.
I've been like in some lunk. They take their spaces as well. It's the same thing.
Yeah, the lunk spaces. That's hilarious. No, but you have folks that take these things super seriously, to the point where it's like they either believe like everything, or they really, really want you to believe their version of it. And if you don't believe it, you're not a good person or something, like, you know, that kind of thing.
That's one thing. Another,
because the thing is like, so like in the sort of, let's say the alien rabbit hole, you have the people that, let's say they, you know, believe that, I think some of those UFO phenomenon looked real. And it doesn't look, it's not really clear how to explain them. You can stop right there, right? But like, if I am going into Twitter spaces trying to convince you that a Tic Tac UFO has definitely got to be alien or whatever, then I have a particular agenda on my shoulder already. Like, and I am sort of trying to push that agenda. And that group of people is a bit different than the people that are just like, you know, I think I might believe this. There's people that want to make you believe it, which means they're sort of being religious about it, right? They're being dogmatic. And that's a very different group again. And as you go up the ladder, you see more of these types of folks.
And not only that, you know what sometimes happens? And I find this just ridiculous. You have people who have certain claims and beliefs. And what I knew, or if you had information or context that I have, then you would also be, because you're all just stupid. And then when you ask for proof, you're never going to get it. And then it just feels like you're like in kindergarten, or, you know, like you're in primary school when someone makes some claim how their brother can, you know, outrun Usain Bolt. But if you ask for proof, they will never give it to you. But they know better than you. And you're like, okay, look, you're an adult.
Yeah.
You're spending time as an conversations, adult.
It's reasonable to end those conversations after a period of minutes. You don't have to wait too long for those. Otherwise, you'll waste your time because those folks will never be convinced. So, or they'll never be able to provide this information. So they'll go on and on for hours, basically just talking about nothing. So, because without like some sort of proof of whatever your claims are, the conversation is just purely a function of like opinion or delusion or whatever. It doesn't really go anywhere.
And can you give some feedback on it?
Oh, by the way, your voice is cutting it out a little bit. You said something about feedback. I didn't hear you. Can
I share tokenomics and get some of your feedback as well?
About what, the tokenomics? Like, your voice in the beginning is cutting out for some reason.
Yeah, I wanted to ask whether I could get some feedback, your personal feedback on tokenomics. I can share the PDF. One sec. Well, not a PDF. It's...
Oh, it's at the top here.
We're trying to make a fair launch, which you're just making jokes about the Indian coins and stuff. But
token presale 70, liquidity pool, treasury community rewards. Okay. So most of it goes to presale then?
So the launch pad and few tiers of presale, we're still considering whether we want, we have a soft cap and hard cap. So soft cap is going to be 1,200 spots, hard cap 2,000 spots. Launchpad depends how it goes, right? Because if we see that we can already start, there's things to do and the race is going slower, then we're just going to launch earlier. It really depends. And the constant liquidity pool to market cap ratio is going to be at least 20%, meaning that that's going to be a stable unless and in the liquidity pool, then it's going to be higher. So the lowest it can go is going to be 20%. It won't go lower than that. So you won't have like, you have these Joe Bowden, which is like a market cap of millions, but there's a liquidity of 100K.
I'm not sure what the exact way to do it is. It seems like the pre-sale section's fairly large, though.
Yeah, so there's no, you're right. There's absolutely no team allocation. And the whole idea is after the launch, it is community driven. So it's going to be, well, community driven is going to be electoral voting. So if I'm not mistaken, you also recommended to check some places like DAO and others on Cosmos. We are still playing around with that. But the whole point is that you will have a certain treasury and everything else is in the holder, in the hands of the holders, and there will be. So there's no need to hold.
Your mic is cutting in and out. Something's wrong with your microphone, by the way.
Yeah. We're not doing any team allocations or any marketing or whatever. There's just going to be a treasury that can be used for other things. But yes, 70% is going to everyone who bootstraps it. And from that point onwards, it's just building the treasury.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that might work. I'm not entirely sure what the pros and cons of the different sizes of allocations and whatnot are, to be clear. So I'm not really sure if it's the best distribution or what it is exactly. It depends on the goals. If the goals are like the tokens are going to appreciate in value for some reason, then yeah, you'd have to make it clear to people how that's going to actually work.
We have that on Telegram and some posts, but we need to also make a little visual on that because people are very simple. They want to see it in front of their face. But we have already, we will start with already revenue drivers. So the whole point is to appreciate it, pay some part of revenues to holders and put a bit more to treasury. So there's going to be appreciation with underlying assets, appreciation with buybacks and payouts. So there's three ways of how you can benefit directly or indirectly.
Yep, cool. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, except for your son, you're about to fall asleep. When is the shift ending?
About half an hour.
Yeah, way too cool.
I need to get back to the room and just go straight to sleep, really.
Yeah, take your
shot. I didn't get appropriate sleep last night, so it got all messed up just switching days to nights.
Yeah, well, you're going to do that for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row? Like last?
Just 10 days. So this is my second night out of 10.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. I think last time it was like 2 weeks at least, right?
Yeah, they asked me to come do this like a variety of times this coming year, but I've got a lot of trips this year. I've got like some wedding trips and this and that, so this is the only time I could give them. I've got my son graduating this year, so I've got like 3 or 4 different trips to make. So this is the only one I was going to do working.
Okay. Well, I guess they pay you pretty well for coming there. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Like, it's straightforward and it's not very difficult and income's good. So I just kind of do it for a little bit. Not a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't seem to go to too many, what we call it, like convents or something, right? So you're not traveling that much regularly. Because I think you're...
Oh, like conferences and stuff?
Yeah.
No, not really. Like usually every couple of years or something.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult to talk about these things without boxing yourself. I get it. So,
yeah, but it's only so many of those things. But yeah, I do a little bit of this travel work stuff just to kind of... Mainly just to kind of get slightly different experiences. In various destinations, just to kind of see what different hospitals are doing and whatever.
You mentioned your dad did quite a bit of traveling, right, in his later years.
What's that?
Your father. You mentioned that he traveled quite a bit.
Oh, no, but that was just mainly for vacationing and stuff.
Yeah. But it's still kind of, I mean,
yeah.
If you have the time and the money, just... it's a great thing to see different cultures. It just keeps
you. He traveled quite efficiently as far as like how much money he spent and stuff. So he went to a lot of countries. Like I think he had like 180 countries or something in his passport. It's pretty good distance. Yeah. You know how it is, like these cruises and stuff go all over the place, right? So
yeah,
you can go to quite a few places.
Yeah, I can understand that. I've been living in overseas for, I don't know, like 16, 17 years with interruptions, of course, but I like it to see different places and see different people, and it keeps you open mind. Sometimes you just kind of get stuck in your little shoebox, you know, even if you live in a larger city or something, it can be the case anyways.
Yeah, I think like for me, the list is kind of the more exciting places in Europe. There might be some South American few sites that are interesting that I might like. There's Japan, and that region is sufficiently different enough you know, like, I guess there's tourist parts of China and stuff that could be interesting as well. New Zealand, places like that.
Pretty overrun China at the moment. You know, they haven't left. I mean, the Chinese, they didn't travel much overseas for the last 2 years. So it's like these 2 years, it's completely like they travel inside the country. And it's like madness, you know. So
the tourist stuff is completely busy.
Yeah, because they just stayed all at home, and all these famous locations, they're just like completely overrun. There's just so many Chinese, right? So if they travel overseas, it spreads out. Yeah, Japan is pretty nice, I guess. But they always say, like, with Japan, you have to get some basic language courses just because it's difficult with English. China is even worse, you know, if you
try to... Domo arigato.
Yeah, something like that.
Why? Because nobody speaks English there at all?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. Like, it's not that kind of common, like...
I don't know. My dad didn't know anything, and he went fine through Japan, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean,
it depends on how far away from the city and stuff that you go.
Yeah, you won't get under, but it's like a better experience, I would say, you know, for a better word. At least that's what I heard, and I can imagine if it's like China, more or less, you know, it's a very similar culture. It's different, but it's like the attitude of the people is based fundamentally similar. So it's like not too many English speakers, anyways.
It's like what, ni hao?
Yeah,
about as much as I know.
Yeah. I can actually read a Chinese business contract. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know Chinese that well.
Yeah.
How long did that take to learn?
15 years, I guess.
Never. Yeah. Wow. Started. You went through the trouble of learning the language, the written language.
Yeah, of course you have to. You know, it's like my handwriting is terrible. It still looks like a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. And that's something I guess you can't make up without actually going through a Chinese school and writing as much as the others with their hand. You know, it's right. Just like, man, it's and your heart. I'm in the first place, my handwriting is awful. You know, so it looks even worse when I write in Chinese. So yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just like, often people ask me, how about learning a language? And I'm like, I've got a real talent for it. So it's not very difficult for me.
Yeah, I definitely do not have a talent for that. That would be a colossal waste of time for me.
Yeah, I can even tell in different languages where what's the region where people come from. You know, it's like if I hear Chinese speaking, I can tell if they're from the east or from the north or from the south. So it's like the same works for me for English. I mean, it's of course you can understand or you can distinguish between an Australian and a guy from Scotland or whatever, right? But it's for a foreigner, it's not a native language. They have difficulties. They're like, okay, funny English, but they can't put it in the right spot normally. Anyway, so yeah, languages. I mean, it's kind of getting a little bit obsolete with the capabilities of AI. It's like, have you an Anthropics, the Claude AI, have you doodled around with it? It's pretty impressive when it comes to translations.
Mm-hmm. Not yet. It's pretty good at language.
Yeah, it's fucking good. And it's not like ChatGPT has become so woke. It's the only word I can, it's just like some of these replies, they're straightforward, like just dumb political statements, you know, it's like not workable. This Anthropic thing is not that bad, you know, it's a little bit still there, still tells you not to.
Yeah, for a language model, I think like censorship doesn't work. Like language works only when like you have the entire possible contextual landscape and you start breaking it into little pieces and start saying you can't say this and you can say that and whatever. It just doesn't come out with right answers anymore.
So, it's sort of weird. Yeah. Honestly, I like the Anthropic one. It's a little bit more expensive than ChatGPT, and it's probably very difficult if you're in the wrong location to actually get access to it in the first place. But apart from that, I think it's better than ChatGPT. It's lacking a lot of capabilities, and they're behind on the curve. It's like now they will have this GPT store where you can actually... You saw what they're preparing. Like, it's not plugins anymore. It's like they will have their separate GPTs. They just come with the native functionalities or whatever they call plugins before. So it's like you go to that sub web page or whatever, right? And then it's just ChatGPT
with
that.
I would think within 10 years or so, we should have like chips on our phones and on our desktops and whatnot that are sufficiently capable enough that you're able to run local models for a lot of the stuff that I care about.
I think so, especially like, you know, if you imagine, for example, this virtual reality, I work a lot with these VR things, right? Because of my business shit, you know, and they are like edgy to use for most people. Like people get seasick and everything. And I like how this is developing, but you want to have some intelligence in these goggles, right? They have to understand what you really want and learn with you to, you know, it's like if you have to use them like a joystick, it's not going to work. It's not that precise. You know, you need something that's like fluidly interacting with you. And I think that that'll be a definite use case for an AI there. You know, it's like this basic, your basic interface that trains on you and runs locally and helps you with the things you're bad at. You know, doesn't have to be like super intelligent. You can still hook into the big one in the internet, right? Or on the server side. But that little thing that actually helps you with where you suck at on your phone. that's how I see it. It's like a real system.
I would think that there'd be like sort of AIs talking to AIs. So for example, let's say there's the calendar app on your phone. There's an AI that's like specifically programmed to handle the functions of that app. Maybe there's another one that's specifically good at like working through your contacts on your phone, and you're going to have these little micro AIs running. And when you ask for something, the LLM that you're talking to is going to understand, oh, wait, I know where to get that information. It's in the calendar, his calendar app. And then it goes and asks the calendar app the question that you're asking. And then it queries it and gets the right answer. But it's like an app specific AI. So it does a much better job of like, you know, clarifying that that data is
Google,
appropriately contextual for your particular needs.
It's like Google, like this big data monster, they tried to do that before, right? So you have whatever, you book a ticket and you get the email confirmation, right? And then it actually asks you straight away, you want to put that into your calendar. And then if you have a Google phone, it'll actually, as Apple does the same, right? But it's like
screening your email kind of.
Yeah, which is kind of crappy because I want to have, you know, I want to own this intelligence that does it. It's mine, right? It's not yours. I don't want Google to know everything. You know, it's like, okay, I booked a hotel room with a hooker. You know, I don't want Google to know that, you know. No way, you know.
It's, right.
I mean, privacy, right? I mean, whatever you do, you don't want people to... I mean, it was 2 days ago.
Although we're really parking all this data on those cloud servers anyway, at some level.
Yes. I mean, if it comes to a personal assistant that actually really knows you, you can actually kind of tell it to block that.
You can be more aggressive with the training.
Yeah, but you can also tell your own whatever you might call it, you know, the own AI that runs on your phone or your personal, you know, whatever we use in the future, if you call a phone. So that thing, you can tell it, okay, obfuscate my data. I don't want Google to know everything about me. It can help you to actually keep on the private side, right? It's like scramble my IDs. I don't want the other side to know what I'm looking for, which is kind of, well, I think, the right way to go, because you don't want to end up in this transparent dystopian world, you know, where people like politicians click on a button and they say, oh, I know if you tell them this is going to happen. You know, I don't like that idea.
Even now, like a simple thing, like if you ask Apple's Siri, if you ask it, like, call my son, like it should ask you some question back. Like, wait, I don't have a recorded person who is your son. Like, who do you want me to sign as your son? And I should be able to just say the name and it's going to pull up a contact and say, is this the right person? It doesn't do that right now. You have to actually go into the database in your contacts and you have to assign that person to be a son, for example, or a father, and then it will know. But like, it doesn't walk you through it verbally to fix that information. There's not an obvious reason why they couldn't have already done that. It's pretty straightforward stuff. So yeah, like the development for that has been quite slow.
No, there's no proactive thinking. You know, if you have a personal assistant, it could actually kind of, if it listens to whatever you're saying, it could come up with an idea. It's like, okay, do you want to actually do that? Or have you ever had this idea? You know, it could actually really help. It's like what we do most of the time as you.
But not only that, but in general, like macros, which is what these are,
yeah,
are things that most people would want it to do. It's not like just something you or me would want it to do. Most people would want to be able to accomplish that task. At least they should have gotten the stuff that most people want pre-programmed in, even without like complicated AI. It could just be pre-programmed algorithms for the most common tasks. And I would say like that would solve 90% of your problems. It's the 10% that you need like a full on, you know, intelligence for that.
Yeah, I get it. You see, what I think what an AI could actually be really helpful with is, for example, it's like when we have a conversation or with anyone, it's not just me and you, it's just like with anyone, you're getting new ideas as you speak because you're following the other person's train of thought and combining it with your own, right? And if an AI assistant could do that while just listening to a conversation that you are having, or and it's like it comes up with ideas where it can solve problems. And that's what I think is actually close to real intelligence that's really usable, you know. And even if it's a weird idea, I don't give a shit as long as you keep on thinking all the time for me, trying to help me, you know. That's way more usable for me because you'll get it right every whatever, you know, twice a day. That's already a big usefulness to me, right? I don't need that specific build like macro that just works for this particular task. It's just like it's in the infinity, the possibilities what every person would need in that particular moment. But when AI just listens to you, my guess is that it could actually come up with some good ideas every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. No, it kind of like considers ideas that you haven't even thought of, for example. Like you might think this is useful or whatever.
Yeah.
And or like, by the way, you forgot to rent a car at your destination.
Yeah, something like that. It's like, hey, just like get some aloe foil. Blind out your windows if you go on travel, you know, it's not working with your brain if there's light, you know. Most people don't know this, but an AI could actually, if it sees, okay, he's in a new destination and it's got problems and the phone has a light sensor, it could actually come up with this idea by thinking by itself in a way. It's like, okay, something's wrong with the guy. He's not sleeping well. What's the issue here? And there's too much noise. There's too much whatever. It's like, okay, this hotel is not good for you because it's just too noisy. You can't sleep well. Or it's too bright in here. And that's why you're not sleeping well. Or you had too much coffee. Whatever. You know, I mean, it could really help you and guide you in a way where you are actually obviously too stupid to deal with yourself, right? So like a real assistance, like a guidance. And I think that's actually where the big use case for AI will be. It's just not making ourselves more efficient in the way that we interact with our companies and with our businesses and whatnot, right? It's also like for our own life, how we streamline the whole thing, that we feel better, live better, happier and whatnot, right? I mean, it's like a more like a on a multi-level thing where I can actually see this improving the human well-being. Yeah. Anyway. It's a little bit far off, I guess, but I would work on something like that. It's definitely something you can sell, but it has to be
local. I think that's what will be the most useful case for AI when you have your own personal assistant who can help you with your simple tasks like dieting, scheduling. Do you already they did a preemptive presentation of this where you have a little pin? There was a presentation of a pin that looks like iPod Nano. You put it on your chest and it scans everything you do and it helps you with tasks.
Yeah, I forget the name of that device. Yeah, something like that, though. It's a little personal assistant.
Your slave. It's basically what we all want, right? Like the Romans, everyone wants the slaves back, you know? So it's like going to be a digital one. It's like a little elf, you know, house elf. Yeah. Humans are just bad, you know. It's just what it is. It's like it's probably you can sell that pretty well, I guess, you know, if you have that little like always the yaysayer. Yes, it's like anything you say, boss, you know.
Okay guys, I think I'm gonna drop so I can get out of here in a minute.
Yeah,
we'll catch up later.
Talk to you later. Bye bye.
All right. right, good hanging out, guys. Catch you later. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over impossible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, say and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Spaces.